Hello, this is Terry Cheek, pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Marion, North Carolina. I want to thank you for choosing our broadcast, and my prayer is that it will be an encouragement to your walk with the Lord. Comments or questions can be directed to me via the link on our sermon audio page. Now, on to your selection.
John chapter 8, verse 31 this morning. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. Now sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is a servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." May God add blessings to the reading of His Word this morning. I want you to listen to this letter. "Thank you for your letter. After careful consideration, I regret to inform you that I am unable to accept your refusal to offer me employment with your firm. This year I have been particularly fortunate in receiving an unusually large number of rejection letters. With such a varied and promising field of corporate candidates, it is impossible for me to accept all refusals of employment. Despite your company's outstanding qualifications and previous experience in rejecting applicants, I find that your rejection does not meet with my needs at this time. Therefore, I will initiate employment with your firm immediately following graduation. I look forward to seeing you then. Best of luck in rejecting future candidates." Now, this was a true letter sent to a company. I've kind of taken the company names and personal names out of it. I bet that raised an eyebrow in the HR department, don't you? Do you think this person might have had a little trouble accepting the truth? The truth that maybe they weren't quite qualified for the job they were applying for? How about you? Have you ever had trouble accepting the truth? Be honest with yourself. Have you ever had trouble accepting the truth about something when it came into your life? God's going to be honest with you. I can tell you that there was a time in my life when I struggled with facing truth about who I was and about the person I was, about the Christian I was or was not, about the life I lived before God. Praise God, He didn't give up. He kept bringing into my heart the reality of the truth of who I was. And I finally accepted it through grace. And by grace and by faith, I got my life turned around. Or should I say, the Lord turned my life around. The Lord brought me closer to Him as a Christian. The Lord done a work in my life that reflects back into this passage. And the Lord wants to do a work in your life. We find in John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36, three nuggets of truth. And they want to show us how we can experience true freedom. So I want you to notice with me those three nuggets this morning. First, I want you to notice the nugget of discipleship in verses 31 and 32. Another little story I want to share as we introduce that. A little boy watched his mother rubbing cold cream on her face. The little boy asked, "Mama, why are you rubbing that cream on your face?" She said, "To make myself beautiful." A few minutes later, the little boy, still watching his mama, saw her take a washcloth and start wiping it off. He looked at her and he said, "What's the matter, Mama? Are you giving up?" when it comes to serving Jesus, He's not going to accept us giving up. He just won't accept it. He wants us to become true or complete disciples. Now, disciples is a very interesting word. Very interesting word. What does it mean? Well, yes, we can throw a one-word definition out there and we can say, well, it means being a follower. And that's correct in the vernacular. But if you get right down to studying it, it goes much deeper than just being a follower. It means accepting and placing into our life and taking ownership of what the teacher is teaching. A disciple then not only teaches others the right way to do things, but those that take hold of it, they apply it to their life and they take ownership of it and they make it theirs and they make it a part of their life and they make it something they do. Is Jesus something that you do this morning? Now, we're gathered in church. Did we come to church today to say, I came to church? Or did we come here today to be in the presence of Jesus? Is this about Jesus? Is this about God? About worshiping Him? About hearing from Him? Because that's what discipleship is. Discipleship is seeing Jesus, being in the presence of Jesus, and taking ownership of Jesus in our life and following by example what He has shown us to do and to be. Because true believers grow in Jesus. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And some believe. Did you catch that in verse 31? Did you see that? Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him. When Jesus went through the previous passage and He gave them the message of I am the light of the world, some of them believed that. So He's speaking to them and He's sharing what it means to be a follower, to be a disciple, and His expectations of them to be a disciple. Now that's not to browbeat anybody into any type of a submission this morning, but it's a reality of God's Word. If we believe in Jesus Christ and we know that He has saved us from our sin and we know that He has written our names in the Lamb's Book of Life, we are gathered here today to be a follower of Him and we need to claim Him and we need to take ownership. We need to be following God's Word in our life and we need to be taking hold of Jesus. We need to be taking hold of Jesus. We need to grow through Him because, you see, there's no such thing as following from a distance. We can't stand in the shadows. God doesn't allow us to move way back here in a corner and watch Jesus and just quietly, subtly slip around and just kind of be in the back of the crowd. Because when we're talking about following Jesus, there is no back of the crowd in front of the crowd. We're all lined up side by side. And we're either where He wants us to be or we're not. And that's something that we have to take hold of today. And we got to realize because the truth is coming to bear on our lives, the reality of where we are with Jesus. Are we where He wants us to be? Not where the church wants you to be. Not where the family wants you to be. Not where a denomination wants you to be. Not where such and such on TV wants you to be. Where does Jesus want you to be? Where is Jesus calling you to be in His service and in His work? And He is, make no mistake about it. Every one of us, as children of God, are being called to perform and do the work of the gifts that He's given us. And you have been given gifts. You, when you were saved, you were given spiritual gifts and talents. Talents with your hands, talents with your mind, and those were anointed and blessed so that you could use them to grow God's kingdom. Because church isn't about setting up numbers in the pews. Church is about setting up souls in heaven. Now let me tell you how the two connect. If we get out and start doing the Lord's work, and we're doing what Jesus calls us to do, and we're building up the kingdom of God the way we're building up the kingdom of God, people are going to be hungry to hear God, to know more about Him, to hear His Word, and guess where they're going to come? They're going to come to the churches. Because that's where God's Word is. So, if we want to reach people and see people back into the church, the only way to do it is to get Jesus into their life. And that means the nugget of discipleship is done by remaining in His Word. If we're talking about Jesus, if we're talking about the church, if we're talking about things to someone else, they're looking at our life. Are we a living example of biblical Christianity? Now, that's a pretty tall order today. Now, I didn't ask you if you were sinless because I know better. That may come as a shock to some, but you're not. You're not sinless. Neither am I. I'm not sinless. I am saved by grace through faith. But I do strive to be obedient, and that's what I encourage in every church member. Godly obedience. Over in John chapter 14, Jesus said to them, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and we will make our abode with him." Abode is another word that means home. Jesus said that He and the Father would come and make a home with those that follow Him and listen to Him and keep His words. So if we're going to follow Jesus, if we're going to do this thing Jesus' way, we're going to have to do it according to His Word. That means the Bible. The Word of God. It is just that. It is the Word of God. And it needs to take that place in our lives once again. If it has ever left, it needs to come back home. And the Word of God needs to have a place, a proper place of honor and respect and authority. Not authority in the sense of a dictator pushing down and pushing, but authority in the sense of leading us. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, a true disciple of Jesus, we have to have direction, don't we? If we're going to be taught, we have to have direction. Well, we can't go sit down at the feet of Jesus today because He's been crucified, He's been resurrected, and He has ascended into heaven where He sits at the right hand of God, but He left us His Word. Everything that we need to know about following Jesus, we're going to find in His Word. We're going to find from Genesis to Revelation what we need to know. And God will bless it in Revelation. He will bless it in Revelation to everything that we do and how it applies and how we understand it. James even says this over in chapter 1, verse 25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the word, this man shall be blessed." I like the last part of that, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer. We need to hear God's Word, and we need to do God's Word, and when we do it, and we put it to work in our lives personally, in our lives, when I do it, when Terry worries about Terry, when I worry about me, and I put it to work in my life, then God's going to bless it. When you worry about you and God's Word in your life and how it works in your life, and it becomes personal between you and God, God's going to bless you. God's going to bless you. Now, I'm not going to tell you money's going to rain down from heaven. I'm not going to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you you're going to get the big house on the big side of town or the big car. I'm not going to tell you that. How God blesses you is up to God, but God will bless you because that's in His Word. A saved person, the church, a disciple, will desire God's Word and will hunger for God's Word and will have the right attitude. And because of that, we will be blessed. Church, are we hungry for God's Word? Are we hungry for that today? Do we desire the milk and the meat that comes from the Word of God? The second nugget is a nugget of deception that we find in verses 33 and 34. It's one thing to talk about God's Word. It's one thing to grasp it and to hold on to it, but we got to understand, even as children of God, even as the church this morning, the devil is going to try to deceive you. The devil goes around like a lion seeking to devour and destroy. If he can destroy a church member, if he can destroy a Christian, if he can get you to a point where you're humiliated, where you're ashamed, where you're not willing to come in repentance, if the devil can browbeat you through deception into submission, he doesn't have to worry about you taking the gospel to someone else. Because if you're saved this morning, he's not worried about taking you to hell. He knows that's not going to happen. But he is worried about keeping you from helping someone else get to Jesus. We're all in bondage today. As we sit here today, every one of us is in bondage. Or we're in servitude. The word bondage means to make someone a slave or to be held without an idea of serving. Bondage is to hold somebody captive, a hostage. And that's what the devil does to those who are lost. He holds them hostage. Spiritual hostage by all manners of sin. And that's what he tries to do even with Christians and church members. He tries to hold us hostage. Now, his most favorite routine is to come back to some point in your life and constantly remind you, do you remember when you did this? Do you remember when you said that? Do you remember? The devil's always bringing up the past. That's why the Word of God tells us we need to be aware of the past, but we need to be looking to the future. What has God got in store for us in the future? What's He got in store for you in the future? If there are things that are brought to bear in your life that God leads you to, you need to repent of, then repent of them. Bless God. Bring them to Him and lay them on the altar and let Him have them. And then leave them there. The biggest mistake most Christians make when they come to the altar, whether it is, I'm saying altar in a sense of just as a description, whether it's a church altar, whether it's a home altar, whether when you bring anything to God, the biggest mistake church members make is they pick it back up and take it with them again. We bring a confession to God. God, I've messed up. God, I've done this. God, forgive me. God, I repent. And then just as soon as we get up, the devil says, oh, here, you forgot something. Oh, yeah, let me take that with me. And we want to hang on to it. And God says, don't do that. Bring it to Him. Leave it with Him. Let Him put it under the blood of Jesus. Let it go. We have to be able to do that in our lives before we can do it in our with God, our life personally with God, before we can do it with other Christians. We have a hard time We have a hard time getting things right with other Christians. We may disagree with other Christians on things. We may have said things that have hurt people's feelings, and we may have been hurt by others. We have a hard time getting beyond all of that because we want to come and pray about it, but we want to pick it back up and take it with us again. God says don't do that. Deception gives us the reality of we need to face the truth about ourselves. Are we being honest with God and letting God be honest with us? When we look at verses 33 and 34, what we see here from the Jews is that they were claiming, hey, we are Abraham's seed. We're special. That's the way they looked at it. They looked at it as being special. They didn't need Jesus and His salvation. They were the bloodline of Abraham. They were God's chosen people. They had taken that out of context. They had rolled it into something that made them feel good about themselves. They had rolled it into something that they made others worship them over and lift them up over it. They had taken it so far out of context it wasn't even funny anymore. And Jesus was there to set them straight. Jesus was there to bring the truth about themselves into their life. They considered themselves better. They thought they knew it all. They had all the answers. Reminds me of a story I heard about a man traveling from Indiana toward Kentucky. On his road there, he saw a large sign that said, "Last chance for $1.25 gas." Well, he still had a quarter of a tank of gas left in the car, but he thought, maybe I need to stop and top off the tank. Maybe I need to take advantage of this. You know, this might be a smart move for me to make. Looks good. Looks good. So he pulled in. He got a fill up. He went inside, going to pay for it, square everything away. He was talking to the attendant behind the counter. And he said, "By the way, how much is gas in Kentucky?" The attendant said, $1.10 a gallon. The picture was a trap. That's what the devil will do to us. He will put a sign up. He'll make something look so good. He'll make it sound so good. He will make the reality of it. Man, I gotta do that. I can't pass that up. And then when we get wrapped up in it and we get tangled up in it and we find the thing, God had something better in store right down the road if we just wouldn't have stopped and had business with the devil. Are we ready to stop doing business with the devil? Are we ready to find the solution? Are we ready to look toward Jesus? Sin is tricky. It's tricky. And if we're not careful, we wind up becoming in bondage. Even as a Christian, we can wind up going from servitude, being a servant of Jesus Christ, which is a voluntary person who steps up. A disciple is a servant. A disciple comes to Jesus and says, "I am following you. I want to know what you know so that I can serve you." That's servitude. Bondage comes from the devil. Bondage is the devil tricking us and trapping us. Bondage is the devil holding us hostage into something. There are a lot of folks today who are good, decent, loving, kind people that are in bondage to pornography, that are in bondage to alcohol, that are in bondage to drugs, that are in bondage to all kinds of sin and all kinds of things that are going on that the devil has them drawn into and pulled into. They're there because they have stops and bought that $1.25 gas. We need to get to the solution, which is Jesus. And the Bible has plenty of illustrations. One is a man named Samson. Remember Samson? The Bible's strong man. He was blessed of God until Samson met Delilah. The devil put Delilah in front of Samson to get him in bondage. And that's exactly what he done. Samson was so taken back by Delilah, he couldn't get her off his mind. Every thought that went through Samson's head was about Delilah. Samson didn't think about God anymore. Samson didn't think about the blessings of God, the work of God, the service of God. Samson was thinking about Delilah. And that was his life. And it put him in prison, in a Philistine prison, and that's where he was when he woke up. Folks, the picture there is the picture of what sin will do and disobedience to God will do. We wind up letting ourselves get drawn away from God, and we get wrapped up in something, and it takes our complete and total attention away from God, and we're drifting off down the road of a career, drifting down the road of some worldly possessions of a house, or we're drifting down the road of a car, we're drifting down the road of material things or entertainment or any of these other things, and that becomes our focus of where we're looking at things, and we forget about God. We forget about what He has done in our life and in our heart, what He's blessed us with, what He expects from us, what He's calling us to do. He's calling us to be obedient to Him. But no, we've forgotten that. And what do we wind up in? We wind up somewhere in some Philistine prison, wrapped up in the trap that we walked into willingly, and we're trying to get out of it. And that's where Samson found himself. Samson woke up in a Philistine prison and he says, "How do I get out of here?" But he knew that his testimony was ruined. He knew that his character was ruined. He knew that his reputation was ruined. He knew that his ability to be used of God the way God had established him was ruined. But Samson cried out to God and repented, and he said, "God, use me one more time." And he did. He used Samson to bring down the Philistines. That was his testimony. What will be our testimony? How will we find the solution in life? The Apostle Paul, before the as Saul, as the Pharisee Saul, he had a reputation that he was vicious, he was vile, he was vulgar. He enjoyed torturing Christians. He enjoyed it. It wasn't just a job for him. He loved it, and he went out and he hunted for them, and he was going from Jerusalem to Damascus when God took hold of him. When he found the solution, Paul avoided going any farther. Paul avoided that prison by coming to Jesus. And it took a while, but he got his reputation turned around. He got his character turned around. He got his life turned around, and he became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, missionary, pastor, preacher that the New Testament had. What's it going to take for us to find the solution in our lives? One last story to tell you about deception. Do you know that in some South Pacific islands, monkey is a delicacy of the food?
monkey.
Well, back in World War II, there were some soldiers that were on this island, and they had heard about monkey being a delicacy, and they were hungry. I mean, they had these supply drops and stuff, but they were hungry. So they thought, well, how can we capture a monkey? So that some of the natives there told them, gave them a little trick to try. Put an apple in a wide mouth jar and tie the jar to a rope to a tree. So they did. They waited patiently, and along would come the monkey. And the monkey would smell the apple, and the monkey would see the apple, and the monkey would stick his hand in the jar and wrap his hand around the apple, but he couldn't get his hand back out of the jar. Because the opening of the jar had just enough room for the monkey's hand to go in, but when he made the fist around the apple, he couldn't bring it back out. Well, the monkey refused to let the apple go. The monkey wanted that apple. The monkey said, that's good fruit. That smells good. I want that. I refuse to let that go. So it wasn't long after that, the soldiers had monkey stew. Now think about this. Was the monkey too stubborn? Or was the monkey too stupid to let go of the apple? And you know what? It really doesn't matter. Because the result was the same. One dead monkey. Did the monkey have the apple, or did the apple have the monkey? That's the way sin binds us. The devil puts the apple in the jar. And we come along looking at it, and we just got to have it. So we go in the jar after it. And because we have to have it, because we can't live without it, or we think we can't live without it, we think we can't do without it, we just will not let go of that apple. Because we're either too stubborn or too stupid. We hold on to it long enough till we come to the point of the devil has us. If we're not saved, he has us in hell. If we are, he has our character, our reputation, our testimony, and our witness ruined. So is there sin making a monkey out of you this morning? Is there any sin in your life that's making a monkey out of you? Well, lastly, this morning, if we're going to come face to face with freedom and the truth, we have to look at the nugget of deliverance. And it's the good news of this message. It's found in verses 35 and 36 this morning. We don't have to be a monkey. We don't have to have our hand caught in the jar. We don't have to fall for the apple. We don't have to have our eye on a Delilah. We don't have to buy the $1.25 gas. We don't have to find ourselves in that situation, because the nugget of deliverance is Jesus Christ Himself, and it is being set free. Suppose someone would have came by the monkey and would have said, you know, I can't let them do this to this monkey, and broke the jar. Suppose somebody from Kentucky would have stopped by the gas station and told him while he was there, thinking about buying the gas before he started putting it in the car, said, wait a minute, you can get it cheaper down the road. Suppose Samson would have listened to the warnings about Delilah. That's what we have Jesus for. Jesus has filled all of those roles through His Word into our lives. Jesus has hung on that cross, has died in my place, in your place. Jesus was resurrected from the dead so that we don't have to experience that type of death. Jesus experienced it for us, and He freed us from it if we will accept Him and if we know we have Him as our Lord and as our Savior. But as having Him as Lord and Savior, We ought to have that desire to grow with Him and to have Him grow through us. We ought to desire the truth this morning. We ought to be hungry enough for the truth to look at ourselves and say, I want to know what's standing between me and God. I want to know what's standing there. I want that out of the way. I want the truth. I don't want any Delilahs. I don't want any deception. I don't want any glass jars. I want Jesus. And I want to get these other things out of the way. That's where we ought to stand this morning. That is the nugget of deliverance. It is that reputation that we have with Jesus Christ. It is the testimony that we have, the witness that we have. It is the life that we live and the life that we let Him live through us. Are we willing to be a true disciple of Jesus? Are we willing to go out and do His work? Now, I'm not talking about some cults put together design thing that goes. I'm talking about when we leave here today, whether you go to a restaurant or whether you go to Walmart or whether you go to the grocery store, wherever you go, are you going to be the witness and the testimony of Jesus Christ? Is your life going to be a life that says, Jesus makes me different? I'm not the person I used to be. If someone sees you that knows you from way back when, and I run into this a lot. See, I grew up here. So people knew me before I knew God. They remember me. How you doing? Great. What are you doing? Well, I work down at the prison full time and I pastor a church. You pastor a church? Yes, I pastor a church. I pastor a church. You ought to come visit with us sometime. You ought to come sit with us. You ought to come hear about Jesus. What Jesus can do in your life. The change that Jesus can make. Because it's all about Him. That's the nugget of deliverance that everything else is built around. It is that nugget. It's all about Jesus. We all have our stories. We all have our past. Over in Galatians chapter 4, verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of a free woman. Well, what does that mean, preacher? Well, let's go to Genesis 21:10 and let it answer the question. Wherefore said she unto Abraham, cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, even with Isaac. Ishmael had to go. Isaac was the promise. Ishmael was a human being. Ishmael had to be taken care of. God took care of Ishmael. But he wasn't the promise. When are we going to put the bondwoman and the son, when are we going to put the Ishmaels out of our life? When are we going to set them to the side? When are we going to welcome Jesus and let that other stuff go? We may have been disobedient in the past. We may have things hanging over us in the past. Give them to God and let God take care of them. We need to reach out to Jesus. And we need to have Him in our heart and in our life, and we need to be obedient. Because Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore no condemnation, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The key, the flesh and the Spirit. There's only two. We're doing one or the other. We're doing one or the other. So as we close this morning, will our musicians come and prepare us a hymn of invitation? We have the opportunity this morning to experience true freedom by following Jesus as a disciple, by doing that through the truth of God's Word, to hear His Word, to stay in His Word, to trust in His Word, and to obey His Word this morning. We need to ask ourselves, we need to be asking God to show us the truth about how His Word stands in our life. We can experience freedom by confessing the truth and casting off any deception that we have. Have we willingly allowed ourselves? Sometimes it's easy, sometimes it's even fun to be deceived. Sometimes it's just fun to be ignorant, isn't it? It's just fun to say, well, I just didn't know any better. But God knows that we stayed in that condition because we wanted to be, not because we had to be. Are we ready to experience freedom this morning by casting off that deception? Are we ready to experience freedom this morning through real deliverance? That comes first through salvation, but if you're saved, that doesn't necessarily mean you've been completely and totally delivered today. Your name may be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You may be guaranteed of heaven. But what else is standing between you and God? What else needs to be delivered? Only you and God know that. I'm not standing up here as anybody's judge. I'm just asking you to ask God a question. So, we don't need to put it off. We need to take the opportunity that sits in front of us. We need to come to the Lord, or we need to grow in the Lord. One of the two. All of us have the opportunity to be in one spot or the other. Are you're confident today maybe that you're saved? But are you really growing in God to be where He wants you to be, where He needs you to be? Or have you just said, that's as far as I'm willing to go right now? God's saying, come grow some more. God's saying, come get a little closer. And God's saying, come on, move away. Move away from that apple. Just let go of the apple that's in that jar. And get your hand out and come see what God has to offer. Don't stop for that good deal that's on that sign that says, hey, last chance for $1.25 gas, without knowing for sure what God's got down the road. Don't be drawn into and held captive by a Delilah, because it can take you to destruction. One last thing, and then we're going to sing. Remember this about sin. Sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go. Sin will always cost you more than you are willing to pay. Always. Sin is never a good deal. Never. In the life of a lost person or in the life of a saved person, sin never accomplishes anything. If God's dealing with your heart this morning, will you come?